You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Dave Kellner, James Millman and Rory Delaghi in the studio. It's Aaron Weatherby on Monday afternoon, Windsor and Wolverhampton in the evening. And there's also racing over the Irish Sea on Monday evening as well from Killarney. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Mark.
Good man. And I will start with a quick look back at Saturday, a very busy Saturday to look back at as well. And then we'll move on to Monday's action in due course. We'll start with the big race of the afternoon, or one of the big races of the afternoon, the July Cup. Went the way of Mahara, who got there in a dying strides, and he's a three-year-old really on the up now, isn't he?
He is, yeah, definitely, Mark. He was an excellent winner of the very first running of the Commonwealth Cup at Royal Ascot. And you know, he came on to take on his elders in the July Cup, and to be honest, at the 2 furlong pole, it looked like it was all happening a little bit too quick for him. And when he met the rising ground, he picked up in real good fashion, and just got up to get the better of Tropics on the line. And he's a very fast, improving 3-year-old. The times were quick yesterday. This race was no exception. And he's a real smart prospect. I believe he goes to France now for his next start. Deauville, I think, was being talked about. So looking forward to seeing Mahara continue for this season and hopefully stay in training for next year.
Yeah, hopefully so. Good to see Tropics back in the mix as well. Soul Power ran a blinder, to say he's a 5 furlong specialist, doesn't really ever win at 6. Eastern Impact at 50-1. Runner in there as well, but the big disappointment of the race was Brazen Bow, who was one of the joint favourites in the betting, and you could tell maybe a furlong out that it wasn't going to be his day, was it?
No, he's he ran really well at Royal Ascot in the Diamond Jubilee, and he was started off well up in the middle of the track, but when the pace quickened, he couldn't go with them, and it was a real disappointing effort after what we've seen at Ascot, but no doubt he'll bounce back.
All right, let's look at some of the other big races on the day as well. We had the John Smith's Cup at York, which is a good story for William Hill Radio's James Millman and his old man with Master Carpenter running a blinder there.
Yeah, I watched Woody Dooney's Channel 4 interview last night, Mark. He came across very well, I have to say. And of course, he was claiming all the praise for the instructions that he'd given Philip Macon.
Yeah, he took all the credit, did he?
Yeah, he took all the credit, did Woody. And he's... it was a fantastic effort, it really was. You know, it looked a real competitive race on paper. We had a lot of horses coming into the race that had shown up very well and strong handicaps at the Royal Ascot meeting. But it was Master Carpenter, a horse that obviously has form, and Patton Company dropping back into a handicap from a mark of 104. He was given a peach of a ride by Philip Macon. He got the better of Collini in the closing stages. And there was great scenes on the Knavesmire, Team Millman. Well, a well-deserved victory there. You know, they only had one winner from 55 runners in the previous 2 months. So, you know, just signs that the yard is coming back to some sort of form. And this was an excellent win in a prestigious handicap.
Yeah, I think they've only had four winners all season as well. Yeah. So they needed it, didn't they? And good, nice story there on the Knavesmire. Plenty of other top-class racing on Saturday as well. We could look at plenty of this. So I quite like the performance of A-Rod in the Summer Mile at Ascot, a 1-2 for Qatar Racing as well, with Lightning Spear in second, who, despite losing his unbeaten record, ran with plenty of credit. I thought that was quite a good race.
I thought it was a real good race, Mark. I actually took a chance with Lightning Spear stepping up in grade. He's looked a class horse since he won his handicap at Salisbury, and he missed the John Smith's Cup to step into to Patton Company, but A-Rod, you know, set a decent early gallop, and he maintained that all the way. He kicked at the 2 furlong pole, as did Andrea Zeni, and he never looked like getting caught. Lightning Spear was the only horse to emerge from the pack. He stayed on and you know, really taking fashion to pull four lengths clear of Cable Bay, who's a useful performer and a horse that you want to be marking this form around because he's quite a consistent type. So, A. Roddy won at Epsom on Derby Day, and, you know, he's come here and built on that promise. He's certainly going the right way again, and there'll be better days ahead for Lightning Spear, who ran with great credit with his first run in group company.
Yeah, good day as well for Richard Farr. He had several winners on the day. He won the big race at Chester, the City Plate with Dusky Queen. He also won the Bunbury Cup at Newmarket with Rennie Mathis. Had the third in that race as well with Heaven's Guest. He had a pretty good time of things.
Yeah, he did. You know, he targets these big handicaps. And of course, he won the Superlative Stakes with Birchwood, the juvenile, just getting the better of Air Vice Marshall. So very good day for Richard Farr. And two big prizes bagged down at Newmarket. Great to see the Northern horses competing. And, of course, it was Tim Easterby who supplied the 1-2 for the Bunbury Cup with One Word More, who ran an absolute cracking race coming from off the pace down the middle of the track to get second. Rennie Mathis was probably just a little bit better placed in that race, but great result for the North. And well done to Team Farhi as well. It was an excellent day's race. And we all talk, Mark, about, you know, there's so much good racing crammed into one day. But it ran smoothly yesterday. There wasn't a great deal of hold-ups. And I enjoyed it. You know, I've always been one that has moaned at that day for some time and thought that some of the better races could be moved, particularly the Newmarket races run on the Thursday and the Friday, or even start that festival a day earlier on the Wednesday. But I have to say I did enjoy the racing yesterday. That was, of course, once my laptop did get up and running. But we had a few technical problems in the studio, but we got there in the end, and it was a real good day's racing.
It was a fantastic day of racing on Saturday. We're going to look ahead to Monday now as well. Craig's got four races for us, and we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we've got four races, a couple of them at Ayr, one from Wetherby and one from Windsor. Starting up north of the border at Ayr in the 3:30, and this one is a Class 5 handicap over 6 furlongs. It's for three-year-olds and older. We'll start here with Gone In Our Day That, Craig, who won this race last year and arrives in winning form this time round.
You have to do better with your pronunciation of that, Mark.
Gone In Our Day That.
That's better. Yeah. That's better. Yeah, he won this race last year, and he won last time out, of course, over the 6 furlongs. He isn't the most consistent performer, Mark. He's a keen going type. He's a hard ride, but he is in form at present. And in, like we said, he did win this race last year from the same mark, 63, that he runs off on Monday. The danger is here that he could get his own way out in front again under Fergal Lynch. There doesn't look to be a huge amount of competition for the lead. Starcracker and Findog could probably push him in the early stages, but I can see Fergal Lynch getting quite an easy time of it on the front end here, which would be a worry. I mean, he isn't a horse I could be with to back up, you know, a recent victory just simply because of his inconsistent profile. But he's a horse I'll probably never get right, in all honesty. Doc Charm is another horse that comes here in good form. He just got run out of it in the closing stages by Exotic Guest over this course and distance last time. But the horse I'm going to be with here is another last time out winner from Doncaster, Firgrove Bridge. I thought was value for a little bit more than the 1.5 lengths that he won by on that occasion. It was a race that, you know, definitely suited the higher drawn horses because there was quite a bit of carnage in the race. There was a jockey unseated that brought down another horse. But thankfully, Keegan Latham, you know, kept away from the trouble up the standside rail. And he was well on top of Wiggle in the closing stages. That win suggested that he was up to following up off a higher mark. And of course, Wiggle, who finished second, went on to win at Ripon. So the form's got a solid look to it. And I think off a £7 higher mark, Firgrove Bridge could be the one to be with here.
Okay, Firgrove Bridge for Craig in that one. I always try and restrain myself when I'm saying Gone In Our Day That, because I turn into a terrible Scottish imitation when I do it. If I go too far, I'm like, Gone In Our Day That, you can't do that, and all that. You never win anything with kids and all this.
You look like, you know, you could pass for a son of Jim Goldie, Mark. There's a little bit of resemblance there.
And moving on to the 4:20 at Weatherby next. This is a Class 4 handicap over a mile and a quarter. We'll start here with Smiling Stranger, Craig, who's consistent, only been out of the frame once in his career, but also never won in his career either.
Yeah, it's a short career, Mark, and you know, you're looking, there's a string of seconds beside his name. And his two most recent runs at Kempton and Chelmsford, he has had the run of things from the front. And it's been very disappointing that he hasn't been able to get the job done on either occasion. You know, he's got a soft lead, but he just doesn't have that finishing kick to put his races to bed. So for me, he's going to be vulnerable again here, despite, you know, what we've seen so far of the Weatherby flat track suiting prominent runners. And he is going to get his, you know, a relatively easy lead out in front, although Hydrant could push him in the closing. He will face more competition here for the lead than he did on his last two starts, but I think he'll be vulnerable again when they quicken in the closing stages.
Okay, so you're taking him on?
Yeah, definitely taking him on. There's a couple of interesting horses here, Mark. Alpha Roos was unfortunate in the Carlisle Bell because he missed the kick. He was up against it right away. And, you know, a big field handicap over a mile at Carlisle, you can't afford to be in a bad position at any stage of the race. You know, you need everything to go smoothly in those type of races. And that wasn't the case for Sally Hall's Charge. I thought he ran with great credit. You know, he's always shaped like he would stay a mile and a quarter. He's only had two tries at this trip. And, you know, he's definitely got to be on the shortlist here. But I'm going to take a chance, and I'm hoping we can get some value here in the morning market with Philip Kirby's runner, Next Edition, a horse that has gone very well fresh in the past. And Philip Kirby's horses, the last few days, have been running, you know, right back to the best. He's gone through a sticky period, has Philip, but what we've seen in recent days is positive signs. He had a double up at Hamilton on Saturday night. And Next Edition signed off last season with a very good second to Zeus Magic at York. Comes back in trip by a couple of furlongs here. But, you know, you'll be fairly close to this pace. And that's where you need to be at Weatherby. And he gets the verdict here just over the top weight, Alpha Roos.
Next Edition for Craig then in the 4:20 at Weatherby. The 4:35 at Ayr is where we go next. This one is a Class 4 handicap over 7 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. And a couple of these are having pretty decent nick. The likes of Invoke and Assault on Rome arrive in winning form. Razaman's not been far away. What do you make of it? It's quite a competitive race.
It is a competitive race, Mark. You know, I think the angle where we have to start looking for the races, obviously Invoke and Assault on Rome are two front runners that you would think would maybe cut each other's throat here. One drawn in stall, one in Vogue. Philip Macon is definitely going to be positive on him. That's how he's been ridden for his two of his most recent victories. And Insult on Rome, you know, is another one that likes to race prominently under Joe Fannin. So, you know, I would expect those two to take each other on in the opening stages of this race. So it could set it up for a closer. I'm going to take a chance here with a horse that hasn't been in the best of form in recent times, but on his last run at Newcastle, you know, he wasn't beaten all that far in a much more competitive race than he's taken on Monday. He drops into 0-85 for the first time, and it's Brian Ellison's Al Muhid. You know, he hasn't won for a while, but the hood hasn't been on for his last two starts. It's refitted tomorrow, and like I said, I think the drop in grade could be the key to the horse, and the handicap has given him a chance as well. He's dropped him £3 for that last run, which, you know, he just qualifies nicely for this grade of 0-85, and I think he could be worth taking a chance with here, Mark, with Dale Swift booked. But, you know, dangers are plenty. Zakynthos, first start for David O'Mara. You know, we've seen this angle bring about so much improvement in horses over the last couple of years. He's a horse I've always had a lot of time for. Is Zakynthos. He's had a lot of trainers, though, Mark. He's been round the doors, this lad. Sean Harris, Michael Bell, Kevin Ryan, Luca Cumani, Alan McCabe, Mahmoud Alzarouni, to name but a few. So, you know, David O'Mara now gets the chance to improve his fortunes as a 7-year-old. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes. And Marsh Pride, who looked useful last year when winning at a maiden at Ripon for Anne Duffield, was highly tried after that. He's also, you know, she's also running Group 3 company and came back this year in a listed race at Carlisle. So, you know, isn't overburdened with weight on a mark of 83, Marsh Pride. So she's another interesting runner. But the selection is Al Muhid, who drops in class here.
Alma Heat in that one. Then the final race we'll look at is the 8:30 at Windsor. This one is a class 4 handicap over a mile and 3.5 furlongs. It's for the 3-year-olds. And we'll start here with Keeping Line, Craig, who improved in maidens, getting off the mark at the third time of asking at Ripon. Probably a bit off more than he could chew in the King George V Stakes at Royal Ascot. This is easier, though.
Much easier, Mark. You know, I've got to be with this horse here. He was nowhere near as bad as his 15th place in that King George V handicap suggests. He got caught wide coming into the straight. He raced a low one up the middle. And James Doyle, when he realised he had no chance of even placing in the race, he eased him down a good 2 furlongs from home. And, you know, he shaped much better than the bare result. And prior to that, he won a maiden beating the useful type of Kevin Ryan's up north at Ripon. And as you said, this is a much easier assignment than he faced at Royal Ascot. And already, you know, the form is working out from that handicap. We've seen Dartmouth, who finished 6th, get the better of Space Age yesterday. King Bullet also ran really well. And a horse that finished well back, Maxwell, he won at Newmarket, one of the closing races of their July meeting. So it's an Ascot handicap that is already working out, and Keeping Line has been found a much easier assignment here against horses that, you know, apart from the bottom one who steps up in class, Retro Valley, all have questions to answer on the on their recent form.
Okay, so Keeping Line for Craig then in the 8:30 at Windsor. Let's just have a quick summary, Craig, if you'll spin us through your selections for Monday one more time.
Yeah, starting off in the 3:30 at Air Kevin Ryan's Firgrove Bridge. In the 4:20 at Wetherby, we're going to take a chance with Next Edition returning from an absence of 309 days. 4:35, we're going for the class dropper Al Muhit. And finally, in the 8:30 at Windsor, we're going for the class act here, the top weight in this handicap, Keeping Line.
Superb. Good stuff, Craig. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Monday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Craig Forsyth on Monday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Dave Kellner, James Millman and Rory Delaghi will be the team in the studio. It's Aaron Weatherby on Monday afternoon, Windsor and Wolverhampton in the evening, and we're also taking the action from Killarney as well. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.